when I walked through the doors of a church for the first time as a teenager, a very rebellious teenager, that what I experienced were people that made living for Jesus so attractive and so fun that it actually took away my taste for the world. And I think that's really the goal, is not just tell them what they can't do, but to begin to unpack what a blessing that his commands are, what an amazing journey that we can be on this journey with Jesus. Hey everyone, welcome back to the So Good Sisterhood podcast. I'm your host, Julie Mullins, and my husband Todd and I pastor Christ Fellowship Church together. The So Good Sisterhood podcast is all about investing in every girl from every generation to live intentionally, lead confidently, and love generously. And hopefully, it will leave you saying, "That was so good." Hey everyone, welcome back to the So Good Sisterhood podcast. I'm your host, Julie Mullins, and I just want to thank you for joining in today. And I am so excited today for our first ever So Good Sisterhood and Crewcast collaboration episodes. That's right, I've got my favorite person on the planet, Pastor Todd, as you guys know him, or Todd for me, in the studio today. And we have got some of our very closest friends. We've actually been doing life and ministry together for the last 27 years. We've got James and Lisa Duval here to talk about something that's been on our hearts for quite some time now. You know, many of you guys have heard us say that in the race to the heart of the next generation, the first one there wins. And our rally cry as a church in this season is that we want to get there first so that our kids can find the incredible, purpose-filled, abundant life that Jesus came to give them. And get there first has been that cry. Well, today's conversation is about our role as parents. And now, if you're not a parent, don't tune out, because we've got some gold for you that is going to add value to you and all of your relationships. So let's jump into today's conversation.
Julie and I have been thinking a lot over this last several months about get there first and how we add value to parents. And we wanted to do a special two-part episode with you guys to give everybody both the spiritual and the practical when it comes to not just parenting, but to all of our relationships. And we couldn't think of a better couple on the planet to be with, to talk this through together. Because James and Lisa, you guys are amazing. You're amazing people, you're amazing pastors, and you're amazing godly parents and examples to all of us. But we all know that there are no perfect parents. So to get us started and make the rest of us feel better,
we're here for you.
Why don't you start with maybe a funny fatherhood fail, James? Mm-hmm. And Lisa, I'm looking for a motherhood mishap of some sorts, if you got one.
Oh, I got plenty.
Oh, I had to go through the hundreds to try to find one that was relevant. Probably one of my favorite stories was, first of all, thanks for letting us be with you guys on this. But one of my favorite stories was when our firstborn, Alex, was probably 4 or 5 years old, and Lisa made some new food. She made this squash casserole, and it was squash, and it had cheese in it, and
breadcrumbs.
It was a perfect, like, grandpa-grandma meal, right? And I remember that Alex, she sat across the table from me, and she took a bite, and she just made this nasty, like, gonna get sick kind of face. I was like, "Oh, no, you don't. Like, that's the queen of this house. That's my wife. She made this meal for you. You're gonna eat it, and you're not gonna get up from the table until you eat that food." Well, I didn't realize at the time that, you know, all our kids are very strong-willed, very independent. Yeah. I didn't realize that Alex was maybe the most strong-willed of all of them. And literally, I said, you're not getting up until you eat that food. In about 15 minutes, and she just sat there with her arms crossed looking at me. I'm like, okay, this is not going the way I want it to go. And so then the really bad, like, dad feels like, okay, I'm going to guilt her into eating this squash casserole. So, you know, I said, "You stay here." And I went and got some pictures of kids in Ethiopia. And I was like, these kids don't have food.
Did you really?
I did. It was terrible.
Wow.
It's terrible.
Not a good
You know,
dad.
they don't give you direction books.
Right?
You know, like, you're just figuring it out as a young dad. And she just, like, she just looked at me and she wouldn't eat it. So finally, after about an hour, it was literally an hour, we sat there across. I wasn't going to give in. She wasn't going to give in. She finally said, "Dad, can I just get a spanking and go to my room?" And
wow.
I was like, I give up. So that was my fail. I never tried to force an eat
we
food
had
again.
Bigger battles ahead. We should have
a lot bigger battles.
Exactly. Squash,
yeah.
Mine is so sad. I know that my physique does probably let you know that I'm not a ballerina, but when Alex was, that's why I said poor Alex. We learned so much on this firstborn. Yep. Is that she was taking ballet and I was so excited about it. She was going with a girlfriend. They had pictures and I have pictures to prove this is that I didn't know what the hairnet was for. And it was for just the bun. Mm-hmm. And I put it on her whole head like a lunch lady. So she rocked up in her first day of ballet with lunch lady look. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? And no one changed it. I'm so embarrassed about it. And I have photos.
Your photos?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love that story. I think that's my favorite one. But, you know, we have been doing a lot of life together. We raised our kids mm-hmm. together. And so you guys have had a front row seat of all of our parenting fails, which we won't share right now because we just don't have time. But we say all the time to young parents is that there are no perfect parents, mm-hmm. but you were God's perfect choice for your child, even though you weren't a ballerina. Lisa, you were God's perfect choice. And I love that because he does give us and equips us, you know, with what we need to raise our kids. And it's fun to laugh at some of these, you know, parenting fails because some of them are hilarious. But there are times when it's not really funny. Right. You know, some of our fails they're a little bit more serious. The times that we lose our temper or the times that, you know, that we blow it in a big way. And so I'd love to ask you guys, you know, what do you do when you blow it with your kids?
Yeah.
When you lose your temper, you say something that you regret. What do you do then?
Yeah. And again, like I said before, you know, early on as parents, we were young when we had our first, you know, kids, and you just don't have an instruction book. And so you're trying to learn from other people. But a lot of times you're at the house by yourself with the kids and when something happens. And I think a lot of times, you know, we respond as parents out of fear more than out of anger. And sometimes it can come as frustration or anger, but we're scared or we're afraid that like we're going to do something wrong or our kids are going to get hurt or there's going to be emotional damage or spiritual damage or physical damage. And so our response a lot of times can feel like anger or frustration, and we blow it with our response. And I think there's a couple things. I think one of the things that Lisa and I have always tried to do with our kids is when we've blown it is as quickly as we can to go back and admit that we are wrong. Mm-hmm. Like I think the fact of being able to say to your kids, hey, I blew it. I'm sorry. I responded wrong in that situation teaches our kids about integrity, about character, about trust, that they can trust us that, you know, in those situations. And I think it's also an opportunity not to excuse our behavior, but to explain that sometimes the reason we respond the way we do is because we really care for them, that we want the best for them, that we want to protect them, but, you know, there have been many times with all our kids that I've had to go back and have to make right, you know, because my first response sometimes feels very angry or very strong or very mean, to go back and soften that and kind of go, really the reason I responded that way is even though you were wrong in the situation, I responded too aggressively and I want you to know I love you, I'm for you, I want the best for you.
Now you would think that with James' personality being as strong as he is, he just has a strong, decisive, out there personality.
Yeah, very direct.
Yep. And then I'm an empathetic, pastoral, shepherding soul.
Such an angel
that he would actually struggle with this more than I do. So it's out. I actually have lost it more than James has in these moments. And recently, our first ticket, our child's first police officer pulled her over. I get a phone call from my daughter, who is being pulled over by a police officer, and he begins to instruct us both on what she was doing. It was on speakerphone. So I'm receiving this information. And I was like, yes, sir, I can take care of this. We hung up. James and I knew we had 10 minutes before she was going to be pulling in the driveway.
Yeah.
And what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I have a pattern of losing it, losing it. And so I said, this is it, James. I'm not saying a thing. You're taking the lead on this. I am submitting to you. You're going to say all the words. I'm going to be quiet and I'm just going to listen.
Like, I got it.
And he's like, I think that he was kind. He said, this is a marriage tip too.
I think it's really best that I handle this.
Yes. And I'm like, and I'm in agreement. Mm-hmm. Literally the door shut. And I said, you're here. We're going to talk right now.
She strapped her down in the chair.
I was just like, you're going to listen. You could have died. You could have lost your legs. You could take someone else's legs. I was just like, going. And she's just like,
it's always about the legs. Yes. Whatever happens, you're going to lose your legs.
And I was just so angry. But the reality was, and I did go back and apologize because I was like, I was so afraid, Adeline. Mm-hmm. I totally operated out of fear. Mm-hmm. And fear grips me. And when I respond as a parent, coming from that place, it is never beneficial. Yeah. And so I just said, I am so sorry, but what you did was wrong. but I shouldn't have responded that way. But it gets the better of me sometimes. But it is love.
Our kids know that if there's an issue, and that there's going to be intention to call me, not least because
it is not.
It's not going to be pretty. But what you both remind us so well is that owning it, like when we mess up as parents, because mm-hmm. we're going to mess up as parents. Yeah. I have messed up. Julia's messed up. We're not going to be perfect. There are no perfect parents. Mm-hmm. But when you own it mm-hmm. with your kids, I think what that does is just it lets them know they don't have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Mom and Dad aren't perfect. You don't have to be perfect. Nobody is except Jesus. He was the only one that was perfect. Yeah. And when we own it and ask for forgiveness, it actually models something to them of humility.
Yeah.
It models something to them of grace and how to apologize properly, right? Yeah. Because they need to see someone do that. You know, we say that things are caught and things are taught.
Yeah.
So there's things they're going to catch from the way we lead, but there's things that we actually need to teach them as well. Mm-hmm. And also someone say that up to age 15, they'll do what you tell them to do or told them to do. Mm-hmm. But after age 15, they'll do what you showed them to do. And so when you show them how to apologize mm-hmm. and you show them how to go, I was wrong, mm-hmm. they're actually, that gets in them and mm-hmm. it's going to help them be a better adult. And it's actually a great parenting technique to just own your stuff.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Really, I love that, Pastor Todd, that piece of humility, because it takes humility to apologize mm-hmm. to someone.
To a child, to your child.
Wow. Yeah. Who actually has maybe done something wrong. I love that Christ modeled this for us in so many ways. But Paul talks about it in Philippians 2:5-8. It says, you must have the same attitude. He challenges us here. You must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. Mm-hmm. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when I think about that, talk about imperfections, mm-hmm. a perfect God mm-hmm. embracing and stepping into humanity, a limited body. What a humbling adjustment.
Yeah.
You know, that's very humbling. Yeah. I have a hard time and I'm not God, you know, of stepping into limitations and weaknesses of my own. But parenting gives us the opportunity to embrace our humanity mm-hmm. and grow in humbly leading and loving our kids in a way that without Christ, we wouldn't know how to do.
Yeah.
I personally used to think if I take the humble position, then I'm losing parental authority. Mm-hmm. And that's, we can see by Christ's example, that's not true. He took a humble position as a slave, but he gave up no authority.
Right.
He had all authority. And so his authority wasn't diminished. And I think as parents, when we give up, we feel like we're giving up parental authority. Mm-hmm. When we're humble, we actually don't. We actually operate in a place of strength.
Yes.
Because I think pride comes in and can cause a parent to act counter mm-hmm. to what God wants us to act and behave and instruct. But pride will take over other things in our lives, and we don't fear. Mm-hmm. We operate in a way we shouldn't.
Well, it's true. I mean, and I think as parents, you know, pride also gets in of like this concern of like, what do other people think about me because of how my kids are behaving?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I think
we've all been there.
Yeah. Like, right? Like, you know, if my kid doesn't dress this way or they, you know, use bad words or they act wrong or whatever, then it's a mark on me as a parent. And I think that passage about just humility and, you know, humility is an antidote to pride. Mm-hmm. Like when we know that, like as parents, God's given us this incredible ability, an opportunity to actually serve, you know, the sacrifice for our kids, not for our own egos or our own thing, but because they're a treasure that God's given to us, then it kind of takes away that, like, it doesn't matter what other people think about me as a result of my kids. What matters is what God thinks about how I am serving and loving my kids. You know,
that's great.
I love that idea of that our kids are in our report card.
Yeah.
And when that's my focus, I just don't, I don't parent the way God wants me to. Mm-hmm. I love recently I heard someone say, it's none of my business what other people think about me.
Right.
Wow.
It's none of my business.
Yeah.
Mm. When I make what other people think about me in the comparison trap in parenting, it does not serve me well. And I parent out of the wrong place, and it's not what God says. It's what the world around me says.
Yeah. Wow. That's so good. And you guys both hit on, you know, just this, this quality, this biblical characteristic of humility, right? That, that there is nothing that humbles us more than parenthood. I mean, seriously, like our parent, if we think, those of you who have, you know, little ones out there, I mean, it, it's humbling, right? When you don't know exactly what to do and you, you know, you have a face off with a 3-year old, you know, over a squash casserole, right?
But and let me just lose.
Tell you, and you lose, right? And then let me tell you, like, it, the battles don't get any easier.
Right.
You know, the teenage years, there's nothing more humbling than, you know, than having a teenager that, that doesn't think that you're like, you know, the greatest. There's
or that you know what you're doing.
They don't think you know what you're doing. They figure it out that you don't know what you're doing. No. But I really, that that humility is so important, and it is such an important quality. But I do think it is this, this the extremes of learning how to be humble, right? Mm-hmm. And taking on humility, but also this tension of being humble and confident.
Yeah.
That there's the this, we can be extremely humble and extremely confident, and you don't have to choose either or.
Right.
Yeah. Not talking about pride, like what you just said, but, you know, but this humility of like teaching our kids, modeling for our kids what it means to be wrong, what it means to ask for forgiveness, admitting that you're not always going to be right. Mm-hmm. And then also that you can have a confidence, right? That there is a confidence that we can walk in authority that, that God's given us. And I think confidence is what's, they're going to follow us probably more when we are, you know, confident, because we got to show them we know what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
But we have to also build into our confidence. I think there is an equipping, you know, that it doesn't come with a handbook, but there's a lot of great resources out there.
Yep.
And really building, investing in the most important relationships that you're going to have, your marriage and your kids, and equipping yourself by reading great books, you know, listening to great messages, and then also getting people around you, coaches, right?
Yeah.
Parenting coaches that actually are a little bit further along than you, that you need allies in this, you know, in this battle for your kids. And so finding people, you know, spiritually strong that have raised their kids, not perfect kids, you know, but have gone to battle too. And finding those mentors is so important and will help build your confidence.
That's great. You know, one of the things that I'm really passionate about, and you've heard me say this many times to our church family, to the parents specifically, is that most important assignment that we have as parents is to help our children know God, love God, follow God, hear His voice. That is the greatest assignment that is on our life as parents. It's more important than helping them get a great education, although education is important. It's more important than helping them play sports and being great at it, although sports are great. The most important thing is that one thing. And I think when we remember what our top priority is as parents, it informs us how we should be spending our time as parents, right? And that's a sobering thing for me even, right? That you go, wow, if that's the top priority, how am I investing my time when it comes to parenting? And I've said this before, I've shared this stat before, that there is a 0.029% chance that your child will become a professional athlete, but there is a 100% chance that your child will stand before God. Every time I read that, it's sobering, right? To get there first means we got to put first things first, even as parenting. So, James, what are some ways that you make sure that you have the right priorities as a parent?
Yeah, that's really good. I think one of the things that we've always tried to do is make our involvement in the house of God important and important in our family. You know, that it even serving here at the church hasn't been a job. It's been part of our life, and coming to church on Sundays and worshiping together. When kids become older, and we're finding this with our adult kids, that even if they are struggling with their faith or are wandering, they're never going to forget or never going to discount the impact of godly people in their life. And they're always, and so, you know, I remember many years ago hearing a pastor say that that everybody has to have their own revelation of Jesus. And so our kids need to have their own revelation of Jesus. And so as parents, it's our responsibility to put them in places that they're going to encounter the truth of God's word. They're going to encounter the power of the Holy Spirit. They're going to encounter the transformation that that Jesus brings. And so I think making that a priority of getting them in places and spaces where they're going to, whether that's, you know, kids ministry, if they're young, youth ministry, you know, we've been blessed, you know, there are kids that have godly mentors and friends that have invested in our kids, or athletic coaches that are believers that continue to echo the truth of God's word and what we're echoing the home as well.
Hey everyone, Carissa here. You know, one of my favorite things I love most about the podcast is the conversations I get to have with my friends. From favorite quotes to so good moments to devotionals, Show Notes Plus gives me the opportunity to discuss and dive deeper into the content. It's also a great way to stay up to date on everything happening in Sisterhood. Click the link in our show notes so you don't miss out on anything.
One of the priorities I think of family devotions. Now that word always troubled me because I never really sat down and go, we're going to have group time, young ones, and we're going to read God's word and we're going to discuss it. But I love Deuteronomy is more in 6:6-9 in the Message. I love it because I'm such a practical girl, practical mom. But it says, write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. Get them inside of you. And then get them inside of your children. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning to when you fall into bed at night. And I loved highlighting the things of God in my kids' life, day in and day out, moment by moment. That I remember with one of my girls, there was a conviction of the Holy Spirit in their life.
Yeah.
And I said, that is the Holy Spirit. You hear that voice? That is what that is. That's not that's just him talking to you, leading you. And I know that those truths ring true when their life doesn't mirror the truth. That voice of God in her life, she's not going to be able to get away from.
Right.
And it was much more than a devotion, although I'm all about devotions. I'm just saying, I want you to know that's what Holy Spirit sounds like, and you heed it. And I would actually remember recounting my son's salvation story. It was on a Christmas. We had a story of some Place of Hope kids that came up, and Will shared his testimony. And Parker got in the car, and he was like, I want to receive Jesus like Will did. And I'm like, yes. And so it wasn't anything I prompted in him. It was initiated by him. And I would recount that story, that salvation story, and just the Saul Paul moments. We had a child change their name because they were Saul, and they turned from that, and they renamed themselves. That's not something I did.
Yep.
That's something they did. And so I'm just recounting what it is. And so I just think that is so important, a priority. Yeah. Call out the God things, the God moments, the God stirrings and transformation that happens in our lives and in their lives.
I love that. I love that scripture you shared. It was like, wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street, talk about them from the time you get up. It's like pointing out those God moments throughout the day. And I think it takes intentionality, you know, but it's so much more than just, like you said, devotions are important, getting them around the table, having those spiritual conversations, but really helping our kids to know that God wants to invade every area of your life.
That's right.
And he is with you wherever you go. Yeah. So finding those times and then remembering, recounting the story.
I also think for dads, that makes it easier. It kind of takes the pressure of, I've got to sit down and teach him a Bible lesson. No, just have conversations about God and maybe something God's showing you, or ask them a question, what God's showing them, or what are they learning when they're at church or when they're at CF Kids University or something. You're just... It's the conversation piece.
Yeah.
And then as the dad, when you see your parent, you see God moving in their life like you did with your daughter, you could go, no, that's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And you just teach them as you go, as you go through life. And I think as for dads, it kind of goes, I can do that.
Yeah.
I don't have to come up with a whole Bible study.
Yeah, right? That's right. That's so good. You know, discipling our kids, it's this sacred responsibility. But it doesn't have to be this overwhelming burden.
Yeah,
I think that's what we're saying. It's not this overwhelming burden. You know, you're not blowing it. Parents, you're doing better than you think you are. And we can all get better and better.
Yeah.
And we just want to say we're not parenting experts.
No.
We are now parenting adult children, whole new season, right? We're not the parenting experts. We're on the journey with you. And there's always room to grow. But one thing is, I look back, you know, when I think about the fact that this doesn't have to be this heavy burden. In Nehemiah, there's this verse that says, the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yeah.
Right.
And a joyless marriage is a weak marriage.
Right.
Yeah. Right. There's no strength there.
Right.
A family that has no joy in it, there's no strength. Mm. It's a weak family. And so I think, too, that discipling our kids can actually be a lot of fun, too. Right. I think about my own salvation story when I walked through the doors of a church for the first time as a teenager, a very rebellious teenager, that what I experienced were people that made living for Jesus so attractive and so fun that it actually took away my taste for the world.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the goal, is not just tell them what they can't do,
right.
but to begin to unpack what a blessing that his commands are, what an amazing journey that we can be on this journey with Jesus.
And that's part of what, you know, I think about the church. We create lots of environments that are fun.
Mm-hmm.
So that they understand, hey, following Jesus is fun. Mm-hmm. This is a good time.
Yeah.
The church I went to growing up, which was a great church, didn't have a whole lot of that going on.
Right.
It was real serious. And, you know, but best thing we ever heard is one of our teenagers said that Christ Fellowship throws the best parties. And I'm like, you know, I want them to, when they come to Christ Fellowship, when they're part of our church family, when they're in their groups, when they're going to students, when they're around here, that we're helping what the parents are trying to do.
Yeah.
To create that environment where they see following Jesus is
fun. Because when that student said, you know, that my church throws the best parties, that actually makes an imprint on their minds and on their hearts, that when they go to college, it's actually going to influence what parties they go to.
Right.
Yeah.
What their whole definition of fun is. And so, hey, we don't have time to jump into this like all the way this week, because we are going to jump into it a little bit more in our next episode. So make sure that you tune in to the next episode for part two of this amazing conversation. We're going to put some parenting resources in the show notes for you. And we're signing off for now, but we'll catch you next time on Sisterhood and
Crewcast
Collab. See you next time. Thank you for joining us today for the So Good Sisterhood podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, share this podcast with a friend, or leave us a comment. We hope today's episode leaves you feeling so good.